How do you measure thankfulness? If you don't know, Thanksgiving's this week. It seems like it's just slipped up on us, or slipped up on us, hasn't it? It's like it's right there. And Christmas is right around the corner. And so there's this time here where we're supposed to be thankful, right? This is the time of year that I'm supposed to be thankful. And so am I doing a good job at it? I mean, like, how do you measure thankfulness? Like, could I be more thankful? Could I be less? Am I doing a good job at being thankful? I don't know. So how is it that we are to determine the answer to that? I mean, we can count our blessings. Remember the song, count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. You name them. We can do that. What are some of the things that we're thankful for this time of year? We when you think about, are you thankful? What are you thankful for? What are some of the things we say? Huh? I didn't hear it. What? Family. There's a good one. Food, church, living in America. All good things I like. Anything else? House. Huh? Our homes. Yeah, our homes. And so these are things, and these are all things that we really should be thankful for. We don't want to take these things for granted, and we understand that some people don't have these things. And so, you know, we pray about those. We express it to others. We've been blessed many, many times over, especially those of us who live in this country. Even those that fall in difficult times, we still have lots of resources and people who can help us during those times. And I believe we should express our thankfulness through our words, through songs. I mean, thankful for the cross, right? Thankful for Jesus Christ. Thankful for the hope that we have, that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our living situation, no matter whether or not our family is with us or not with us, no matter whether we had a good family or a bad family, No matter if we got plenty of food or we're hungry, in Christ, there's still something that gives us hope and something to be thankful for. And so we sing for that. And so we turn our praise back to Him. We sing to Him. We express that through songs. We express that through prayers. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How is it possible that you can really give thanks in all circumstances, right? Like, some circumstances stink, right? I mean, they hurt. It's painful. I would choose something else if I could choose something. I don't like this circumstance. And we've all been in that. There's things, what do you mean give thanks in that? Well, it's because we're not thanking Him for the circumstance. We're thanking Him through the circumstance. We're thanking Him in spite of the circumstance. We're thanking Him because we have something to be thankful for beyond anything this world can throw at us, even death. That's a pretty cool thing, right? That's how we can thank God in all circumstances. And praying and thanking God. Something we should do. I'm going to pray right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessings and for your great mercy, great forgiveness and great grace. Lord, thank you for the physical blessings and the good circumstances that many of us are experiencing right now. But Lord, we know there's some even here right now today. Their circumstances aren't so good. So Lord, ultimately, we do want to thank you for you. Thank you for leaving your throne and coming here to reconcile us to you. We're thankful for that. And Lord, we are thankful for all of these other things, these circumstances, if you will. But Lord, help us to use them for you, for your kingdom come. In Christ's name, amen. See, showing gratitude means that we're thankful to someone for their safety, for their provision or security they may add to us. We're thankful for their kindness. And it's a humble recognition of we appreciate or we need it or you added value, whatever it is you're thankful to, they added value to you through some way. And it is expressing this gratitude. And we say that, but even in me praying a prayer that says, Lord, thank you, and I think that's okay. We can do that. We should do that. But somehow it just seems to fall a little short. Has someone ever blessed you so much, that you say thank you and you think to yourself, that wasn't good enough? Like, you're like, I need a better thank you. Like, I don't know what, thank you. Like, I don't know what how it is, but like, you know, a parent gave you a car or somebody bailed you out of jail or I don't know what it is. A doctor removed some cancer or whatever it is. And you just, thank you. And that still is words. And I want to suggest to you today that what if there's a better way to give thanksgiving? What if there's a better way to express that? What if there's a better way to measure your thankfulness better? I'm not saying we shouldn't do this the other way, but better than counting up all of your blessings and saying thanks, right? Surely there's got to be a better way. Because it does. Am I the only one? Does it seem to fall short? Thanks. Like, hey, thanks. You bought me a $20,000 car. Thanks. I appreciate that. I don't know if that does that get to the spirit of thanksgiving. And I'm going to submit to you in my life, it doesn't. I don't know if there's other combination of words that I could put together that would express it. I do feel it in my heart, thanksgiving, but I just don't know how to express it, how to show it, and then how to measure and say, am I really being thankful or am I just being stingy and selfish? You know, what's going on? How do I measure this? And again, I want to submit to you today that the best way that you can measure your level of thankfulness is not by counting how much you have, but rather counting how much you have given. One of the greatest ways that you can be thankful is by sharing your blessings with others. Do not hear me. When I say giving, I'm not talking about giving to the church today. A lot of people show up and say, hey, every time we talk about, I'm not talking about giving church. As a matter of fact, so don't hear that. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the way that we measure thankfulness, a better way of saying, oh, how did I measure up this year, is not by looking at all the things that I have, everything that I've been given, but rather by how I've given. The principle is this: giving is the most important part of thanksgiving. Giving. So, what do we do with this? You know, what does that mean? That today's about that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He's going to go die. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go die. And he's reminding them of how hard he worked. And this is what he said: in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, and that was he was working among them, we must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You say, well, where did Jesus say that? I don't know where he said it. But in John, it says if everything that was written down that Jesus did, we wouldn't have enough space in the world for all the books. So Paul had evidently heard him say this and preach this and teach this. That is hard work to help the weak, or work hard to bless others, and remember what he's saying. Remember, so work hard, bless others. Remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so this got me thinking: if thanksgiving is about my blessings, right? If thanksgiving is about all the blessings that I have received, or all the blessings that you have received, and then the way to accomplish an even greater blessing is by doing what Jesus has instructed here through Paul, is give. Give. Because you're going to be more blessed when you give than when you receive. And so if thanksgiving is about blessing, then giving is a key to making that a reality in your life. The key to unlocking this greater blessing in your life and experiencing this deep gratitude that it goes far beyond any words that we could say of thanksgiving, is how much I have given, how much you have given. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And what was going on is he was writing in order to encourage them to go ahead and take up a collection for Christians, for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was experiencing great poverty. They were experiencing persecution. It was tough on them, really tough. And so Paul goes around to his churches and he says, hey, you guys go ahead and collect some money to give to the poor in Jerusalem, because we're gonna take it up there because they're really bad off and they need help. And so that kind of sets the stage here for what we're going to cover today. And so beginning in verse number 6, we see the power of giving. And I want you to understand that. This is what's about the power of giving. The power of giving. First, giving to others produces thanksgiving in you. And we've kind of been touching on that already. But verse 6 says, Paul says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Who's ever heard of the principle of sowing and reaping? Has anybody heard of that before? It's an agricultural term. It has to do with planting seeds and reaping a harvest. And we see all the farms around here, and we still have those out here in the county. There's a principle in the Bible that's the principle of sowing and reaping. And it's generally true. Generally true. In most cases, what you sow, you're going to reap, and you're going to reap a greater harvest than what you've sown. So if you sow a large amount of seed, if you plant a large amount of seed, you're going to get back a bigger harvest. For example, if you plant an apple seed, a little bitty apple seed, no bigger than a peel, you plant that seed and it grows into an apple tree, will you get a lot of apples? Yeah, you get a lot of apples. So just let's start off with a little seed. Now you got several apples that have several seeds in each apple. There is an abundance given even over one seed. So let's say you planted a whole orchard of apple trees. You're going to get a gazillion apple seeds and apples to go along with it. What about cucumbers? Can you plant a cucumber seed? And then the next thing you know, your garden's covered up with cucumbers. You can't even give them away. Like, they're bringing them and putting them next to the coffee pot at church. There's so many cucumbers. You're like, what? Tomatoes are the same way. It's like we have an abundance of tomatoes and cucumbers in our country. And people just got to get rid of them because there's so much. It's this principle of sowing and reaping. And this principle is found throughout Scripture. Now listen, some people will abuse this for their own gain. That's why I made a point up front to say, I'm not talking about giving to the church. That's a whole other sermon series at another time. This is about thanksgiving, about me measuring the truth of my thankfulness when I'm talking with God. And this is maybe a way for you to look and say, am I really thankful? Or are those just words that I say this time of year? In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, so it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. You see that working there? He's like, you're going to get back. You're going to get back. In due time, you will get back what you've put in. You're going to get it back. And so when you serve other people, when you do good to other people, you're going to get a blessing back. How many of us, we know this, right? How many people have ever been on a short-term mission trip? Raise your hand. Short-term mission trip, raise your hand. This is what's in your head when you go. If I'm not telling the truth, you can stand up and say, he's not telling the truth. This is what you're in your head when you go on a short-term mission trip. We're going to go over there and we're going to bless some people. We're going to go over there and we're going to take our American stuff and we're just going to bless people. We're going to love on them. We're just going to bless them up. Bless them. And then you get over there. They don't have anything that you have in most cases. In some places they do. But in a lot of places, there's poor and poverty. It's normally where we do mission trips. And the first thing that happens is you're completely humbled by the fact that these people who actually have hardly anything, nothing. And then you go and you start to serve them. Truth is, they don't want anything you have. They just want you. They want people to be, they want people. And in your feeble attempts now at this point to try to minister to them, you're the one that gets ministered to. And people that come, I believe people that come back from mission trips have received the mission trip. Like the mission touched them, not the other way around. I'm just saying that we didn't do some good and help some people and touch some people. But it seems to always affect the person who went. What about at Christmas, giving and seeing the joy on people's face when they receive something? You're always more blessed to give. We go down to the Wayside Christian Mission once a month, and we have people faithfully every month. They get up way early in the morning. They go down there, and they cook breakfast. And you think you're going to bless somebody? No. You're being blessed. Go try it. It changes your life. It's serious. You know, Job had some friends. You remember the book of Job. Job lost everything he ever had. Except for his wife. So God took everything away from him, inflicted him with great pain and sorrow, and left his wife with him to just kind of poke at him and tell him how lousy he is. And then he's got these three really good friends, and one of his friends in Job chapter 4, verse 8, he says this. He says, I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, and they reap the same. And so Job's friend is telling him, all the problems in your life are coming upon you because you have sowed iniquity. You've sowed trouble somewhere in your life. Well, we know that not to be the story of Job, right? Job was a pretty good guy. That's why he was in the trouble he is. And so oftentimes we look upon people's circumstances and we might say, well, this principle of sowing and reaping, you've done something horrible. But that's not true. We should not be so fast to judge other people's situations. And sometimes you shouldn't even be so fast to judge your own situation, because it says, in due time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And that's what happened with Job. He struggled and he hit a little bit, but he didn't give up. He kept pleading his case before the Lord, and the Lord showed up for him. It's the parable of sowing and reaping, though. It's throughout the Bible. And I should also point out this, the parable of sowing and reaping, because when I hear the parable about, or the principle of sowing and reaping, I start to get scared. You understand why? Because I've sown some trouble in my life, you know? You're like, pastors shouldn't say that. God saved me from something bad, right? And so I've sowed some trouble. And so this principle is generally true, but it does not circumvent God's grace. God is gracious to every single one of us. And oftentimes we know we do not get what we deserve. Right? Thank God for that. Like that should create some thanksgiving right there, right? And because even though I have experienced some circumstances and some consequences of things that I've done, he has been gracious even in that. And he's been gracious to every single one of us. So when I talk about the sowing and reaping, we don't want to be too fast to judge. And we always want to know that God stands ready to forgive. He stands ready to give grace. And regularly, he mitigates the consequences of our sowing trouble. Regularly, he does that. But the principles, they're none the same. Now, a lot of people will use this and say, well, if you give $100, God's going to give you back $1,000. He might do that. I mean, he could. He might. But some people do that to try to get money from you. You plant this seed of faith. There's a seed of faith. Give and seed of faith. And if God's calling you to do something like that, do it. But this is not about giving here. This is about blessing people in your world with that which God is giving you. And so what we see here is when you sow, when you give of that which God is giving you, God blesses you back. And that creates more thanksgiving in you. So giving to others produces thanksgiving within you. Do you understand? So if you find a hard time, I know we can all say the words, but if you find a hard time in your heart this year, this occasion of Thanksgiving, you find a hard time in your heart to really, truly be thankful for stuff, could it be that you've been counting what you have or maybe even what you don't have rather than giving to others? Rather than being the conduit through which God's grace flows to others. The second power of giving is that giving reveals our true heart. And that's what we just talked about. Giving reveals who I am. Verse 7 says this, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There are some of you, you are actually phenomenal givers. You're like cheerful givers. You have something to be thankful for. Your thankfulness is off the chart. And many of us know who you are just because that's who you are. And it's amazing. Your heart, I don't know what God's doing in you, but it's phenomenal. But when we look at our giving, in our helping of others, in our generosity, in our open-handedness with people in our world, it reveals our heart. Because oftentimes I'm stingy. You ever get stingy? That's mine. Like, I earned that. That's me. I'm sorry, I don't have an envelope for you in my Dave Ramsey program, you know? Sorry, it's the budget. Sorry, it's just like, sorry. Well, you know what you should do? Maybe create an envelope for giving. Create an envelope. I don't care if it's $5 a month or $500 a month. That's up to, it's whatever you're at. But it shows you your heart. And when we give, it exposes who my true God is. Because if I give reluctantly, I give under compulsion, I don't want to, then my true God is money. It's me. It's what the money buys me. It's that. And so sometimes when I give, it forces me to be confronted with the reality of this heart. This heart that's supposed to be soft. This heart that's supposed to love God. This heart that's supposed to love my neighbors as I love myself. But the truth is I don't love my neighbors myself. I'm not paying his utility bill. I can barely pay my own, right? And so that's the way we think. Is it just me? Is it just me? This is no. This is yes. Okay. Just trying to be real. And so it shows me what's inside. And that's the reason why we should give. Another reason why we should give. Not only does it produce thanksgiving in us, but it shows us some idols that we still have. Some areas of our life where we're still trusting in ourselves, trusting in our stuff, trusting in our plans rather than God's plans, trusting in money, loving money more than we love people, loving money more than we love God, loving what we're going to get with that money more than we love other people. And so it forces us. So I encourage you to give. And if it's hard, really give. And then go do some heart surgery. Say, God, why was that so hard? Ooh, why was that? I don't like that. It reveals our hearts. See, sometimes I think we're judgmental. Well, they don't deserve help. I talked to somebody a few weeks ago. Well, they don't deserve help. Oh, my goodness. Are you a Christian? Yes, they were. I'm a Christian. Well, what about you not deserving God's help? Well, you don't understand. They don't work. They're lazy. I'm not going to help them. I'm going to feed them. I'm not going to provide health insurance for them. I'm not going to do that for them. That's not the gospel. That's not grace. And listen, the whole point of Jesus is that we don't deserve him. Right? The whole point of his gifts to us and his love for us and his forgiveness to us is that we don't deserve him. That's the whole good news message. The good news message is this. We're messed up. My heart is selfish. I'm my own God. I love me. I want my plans to come to fruition. And my plans are completely opposite of God's plans most of the time and have been my whole life. And every time I pursue my plans, I'm sinning against the holy creator God, and I'm going further and further away from his blessing that he has for me and his plan and his design for my life and for this world. At some point, I realized that. At some point, his spirit convicts you. Maybe he's convicting you today. And you're like, yeah, that's what kind of, I've been living my life. I'm kind of my own God. And that's, you know, it's my thing. And but it's, you know, I realize I'm sinning. You feel his spirit saying, you're sinning. You're ruining your life. You're going against the way I designed it. And I've got life for you over here. I got a better plan, a better way, and it's my way. And if you realize that, then what happens is you're crushed under the weight of your rebellion. You're crushed under the weight of that. You're like, I'm guilty. I'm ruined. I deserve death. I deserve judgment. And God says, listen, that's true. You do. But I've provided a complete way of escape for you. I've provided my son, Jesus. He's paid for all of your rebellion. And he offers you complete forgiveness. But I'm not worthy. I know, he says. And that's why I give it to you. It's free. Because you're not, it's the whole point, we don't deserve it. And when we look upon other people, well, they don't deserve my blessing. Well, you're right. But they deserve God's. And God's blessing flows through you when you give. It flows through me when I give. So do I have a judgmental heart? Am I prideful?
Well, if they would just get their life together like I've gotten my life together, then they wouldn't be in the problems that they're in. Just follow my example. Yeah, right. That's pride.
God warns us. He says that a haughty spirit comes before the fall, that God humbles the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that's what we're talking about here. When we give, it exposes this stuff in us. If I'm a tightwad and a stingy giver, you know who my God is. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. If we want love, forgiveness, provision, and blessing, if we want that, if we've accepted Christ's forgiveness, it's unmerited. You can't give your way into Jesus. So I'm going to make this clear right here. Jesus' offer of forgiveness and salvation and grace is completely free. You can't earn it. You can't give a gift to someone else and then God say, oh, well, you did good. You're saved now. You did good. You're forgiven now. That's not the way it works. We don't give our way into heaven. You can't buy the ticket, so to speak. You can't help enough hurting people to earn your way into heaven. If your good outweighs your bad, it doesn't matter. Your good outweighs your bad. You're still guilty before God. The only way that we can be reconciled and forgiven is to come to Christ through his forgiveness, to acknowledge that our sin and our rebellion against him and accept his free gift. That's why you accept it, just like they accept it. Just like accepting a gift from somebody, you accept it. And so you say, yeah, that's mine. I'll take your forgiveness. Thank you. And you can have my sin. And I want to live like you tell me to live from now on because I don't like the guilt and the shame and all that stuff, this ruined life that this produces in me. I want to honor you. You can't earn your way to heaven. However, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and once you know him, this principle plays itself out over and over again. If you desire to be thankful, if you desire to be continually blessed, then you bless others continually. And what happens is you become a conduit through which God's blessing comes. Again, a conduit. You know, a conduit, it's like a pipe, right? And you're, it could be a water goes through it. It could be electrical wires go through it. But it moves something from one place to another. And so God blesses us in order for us then to turn around and bless others. Bless others. So it reveals our heart. It produces thanksgiving in us. It reveals our true heart, and it blesses others. And this is verses 8 through 11. It says this in 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Well, I don't have enough to give. That's mine. Well, God can make all, he's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Like God's going, that's what he's saying. God's got you covered. Go ahead and try. He's got you covered. Go ahead and try. He can do anything he wants to do. Why? You may abound in every good work. God will provide for you so that you can abound in every good work. Every one of them. As it is written, he has distributed freely, freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Your giving is how God blesses others. You know that? You ever see somebody go, man, somebody should help that guy. You're right. It's you. It's you. It's me. It's like, man, sometimes we pray for me, Lord, just help this person. Lord, just supply their needs. You know what you're actually praying? That God would supply their needs through you. Through you. So I can't meet all their needs. It doesn't matter. Meet a little need. Meet half the need. Meet an eighth of the need, a 16th of the need, a 32nd of the need. Just do something. Because you don't know what that person's going through. That person's probably doing this. If there's a God up there, God, just show me you're real. I'm struggling down here. I'm dying down here. I'm drowning down here in this cesspool of life. Help me. Help me. If you're real, help me. And then you walk up and you help them. Guess what? God just proved himself real through you. Through you. And there's people praying that prayer every single day. In one form or a fashion, they are struggling and they're looking for some evidence that there is a God who's gracious and loving and kind and who knows that they exist and who's willing to have compassion upon them. He says here that this is grace. God can make everything abound to you so that you have what you need to help others. Have you ever noticed? You ever noticed something? It seems to me that in at least in Christian circles and ministry circles, that the people who give the most are the people who are given the most. You ever realize that? We had a ministry here in our church. It still exists. It's not like it was back in the old days, meaning a few years ago. But it's called Divine Deliveries. And what would happen is some people from our church would collect goods and stuff and give it to other ministries and other Christian organizations around the state. Right? Y'all, some of y'all remember that. Well, and there's still some of that going on. There's still some of that going on, not at the level. But this is what would happen. People would call the church and our people here at the church who was giving this stuff away, and they would call them all the time and say, hey, I got 7,000 bottles of pancake syrup. Can you do something with them? Has anybody ever called you with 7,000 bottles of pancake syrup? No. Somebody comes and says, hey, I got a case of Duracell batteries. They're expiring this month. You got anything to do? Like, I'm not talking about a case. I mean a pallet. Like probably $10,000 worth. Has anybody ever called you? I mean, I can't even find a battery for the remote at my house, let alone a pallet full. But why? Because they're faithful to distribute, to become a conduit through which God flows to other people for other blessing. And so God just keeps pouring out, pouring out. Let me ask you this. Most of you know what the stock market is, right? The stock market, right? So what's the deal with the stock market? Stock market is you put some money in to invest in a company. And that company is supposed to use your money properly to produce a fruit for you. Is that right? Well, what happens when that company doesn't produce the fruit? You're going to quit giving them your money, right? Well, this is the principle of sowing and reaping. It's like, okay, God, bless me a lot. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm going to count them up. I'm going to sing. I'm going to tell everybody how thankful I am. Just bless me. And it's like, why? Well, so I can use it all in my own lust. So I can eat all my food and get fatter and have to need bigger clothes and need more blessings, literally and physically. Why? But what if your prayer was, Lord, I want to develop a pattern of thanksgiving in my life, and I want to give. And I just want to be faithful with what I have right now. I don't need anything else. Just find something. God's giving you a car. Find a way to bring somebody to church. Somebody did that this morning for us. Blessed. If God's giving you a home, use it for his glory. Bless other people through your home. Have them over for dinner. Maybe they need a friend. Have them over and talk to them and just hang out. Whatever it is. He's giving you an extra $10. Find a way to use that for somebody else rather than yourself. That's thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. You are the means by which God brings blessings to others. A conduit of grace, love, and mercy. We're not judgmental. Your job is to show the world that the Father loves them, is aware of them, and cares about them. That's my job. That's what we get to do. That's what it means that we're ambassadors of reconciliation. We get to tell people what Christ has done and we show it to them. The scriptures show us all over and over again that our primary job is to help others in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go through these real quickly. I'm not going to stop. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect the good. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That's Hebrews. That's New Testament. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. And the master gives to one servant five talents, gives to another servant two talents, gives to another servant one talent. And he says, I'm going to go away on a journey. You take what I've got here. You're stewards of it. Do something with it. And so he leaves. And when he comes back, the one who had five talents now had ten. And the one who had two talents now had four. And the one who had one talent, he hid his talent in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. I was scared. I didn't want to lose it. I just do that because it seems like me. Like, I don't want to, I hid it. It's in my sock drawer. It's for you. I don't hide valuable stuff in my sock drawer. For all of you watching on the internet. There's somebody at my house right now. The point is, the point of that whole thing was use what God's giving you to produce a harvest. Sow it, sow what God's giving you so that there'll be something reaped when the master returns, when God comes back. In Matthew 25, that same chapter, this is what Jesus said. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of these least of my brothers, you did to me. the conduit through which God blesses. You want to be blessed? Bless others. That's the principle. You are the hands and feet of Jesus, and God blesses people through you. And the result of God blessing people through your giving facilitates, this is beautiful, facilitates thanksgiving in them. So it started off with giving facilitates thanksgiving in you. Now you are facilitating thanksgiving in someone else. You know what that means? You have created a God worshiper. You've done something that caused someone to realize that God provided for their needs, produced thanksgiving in their lives. Look at verses 12 through 15 of our 2 Corinthians 9 passage. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and all the others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. See, when you give to others and they have need, if you do it in Christ's name, if they know you're giving, this gift comes from God Almighty, not from you, it's going to produce this in them. It's going to produce it. They may not express that right there while you're standing there, but they're going to go home and God's going to start working through his Spirit in their life. He's going to say, you know where that came from? Remember 2 weeks ago when you were laying in the ditch and you were praying for help? Guess what I just did? I helped you. And he's going to start showing them that. What does your giving say about your thanksgiving? What does my giving say about my thanksgiving? You might be a generous person. Is God getting the credit for that, or is you? Are you? Yeah. You might not be a giver. You might be a taker. Could be that there's areas in your heart that you've not surrendered to Christ, and you're still thinking that you're your own provider, and you need to give that to the Lord. Maybe you're having a hard time trusting God to take care of you if you give your provisions to others. He's already taken care of you, isn't he? He hasn't brought you this far to let you go. Trust him. God wants to make you a generous person. God wants to make me a generous person for his glory. And that brings more blessings. That brings more people into the fold. Maybe there's areas of our life where we love money more. Maybe you have a critical, judgmental spirit, whatever it is. And this is the truth of this passage. And you're going to hear this preached on TV, and it's going to be a lot different than the message that I just gave you, because it's going to be about a preacher gaining or a church gaining. Or it's going to be about the sole motivation for you to give is to get. And indeed, he tells us he will bless us if we give, so that there is a motivating factor there that he wants us to hear. But God wants to pour out more and more blessings on you for the purpose of you blessing others, not simply for you to consume them. And I have to admit, in my life, I've consumed most of the things he's blessed me with, especially the food, right? You can tell, it's obvious. How am I helping others? How are you? Do we want him to bless us just for us? He wants to reach people through your blessings. Are you willing to share them? You never know how God will use your simple act of kindness and love towards someone else to change the world. And God will use it and turn it back to you. I'll leave you with Christ's words from Luke 6:38. He says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. Lord, we're grateful in our hearts. We're grateful in our heads. We know we should be grateful. Lord, but I just want to confess for me and for everyone else who fits into my category, I've not been a grateful giver. Somehow, some way, we have, your people, we've consumed it on our own lust. You've given us in this room the ability to change our neighborhoods just by simple giving. You've given us in this room the ability to change our county, to let people know that you love them and care for them. In our state, our country, dear Lord. Some of us have done that well. We're so thankful for the example that they provide. Lord, others of us have not. Today, Lord, I don't want anyone to hear me say, give more. Lord, I don't want to just give more. Lord, I want you to touch my heart. Why I haven't. Why I don't want to at times. Lord, I want my thanksgiving to be more about giving than it is getting. And Lord, I pray that for everyone here. Lord, touch our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.